the people that make it, a lot of them are the people that just never stop going. Eventually, something will click.
Totally go outside my comfort zone right now. Can we do this, okay. Me and you?
You want to do an improv scene? Would you go up to a doctor and ask them to just operate on you, Hunter? Come on.
Welcome into Winging It Podcast, presented by Wingman of the Year. Now let's get ready to wing it.
All right, welcome into another episode of Winging It, presented by Wingman of the Year. Today, I am joined by Xander Frost, who, friend, former coworker. What's it been, Xander, like fucking maybe 10 years since we worked together?
Yeah, about, right? Like 2011, I guess. 2011, 2012. Those would be the years, right?
Yeah.
So that's like 9 years.
And then the last time I saw you, I was absolutely fucking hammered. Was it like the night before Thanksgiving?
I think so. I mean, probably. If you were hammered and we were at the bullpen in Glens Falls, it was probably the night before Thanksgiving.
100%. Safe to assume. But anyway, mm-hmm. For the listeners, Xander, can you tell us a little bit about you? I know you've been living out in LA doing comedy. Can you give me like a little background on that and the listeners?
Yeah, so I'm a comedian out in, at this point, I guess I'm bi-coastal Los Angeles and New York, but I've been a comedian in LA since 2014, actor, writer, performer. Predominantly, I've been a house performer at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater out here in LA, doing improv at our several LA locations. So, yeah, that's what I do. And I guess podcaster too. You know, you got to be a multi-hyphenate now.
Everyone's nowadays. Got a podcast.
That's right. If you don't have a podcast, what are you doing?
Right. You Hunter's have, you got, said you got a
Hunter's got
one,
like
right?
16. Yeah, I got a sport. We have a sports comedy one. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's more or less the broad strokes of who I am.
Okay. And that comedy place that you perform, you said, what is that? Like Amy Poehler's like club or something? Or what is it?
She is the one of the founders of the Upright Citizens Brigade. Yeah.
Okay. So how did you?
So pre-pandemic, we had. Go ahead.
How did you like get into like comedy? Like, what made you want to do that and like do stand up in particular?
Well, so I don't do stand up. I do improv.
Oh, it's not stand up.
I've done stand up a handful of times. I believe it or not, I'm more comfortable making it up than preparing it.
Okay.
I got into comedy. I started doing improv. I did a little bit of it in high school, and then I did a lot of theater, like musical theater in high school, and I really liked doing the funny shows. And then in college, I didn't do any comedy for like my first 2 years of college. I was like not that happy. And then my junior year, I finally decided to try out for the improv team because, you know, that had been such a big part of my life growing up. And I got on the team and then did that for the rest of college. And we ended up bringing out like a travel team from the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in New York.
Okay.
And like some really... some people in that, like Neil Casey, Fran Gillespie, like some really people that went on, like Fran Gillespie is a writer on Saturday Night Live. Like the people we brought out were amazing. And I just realized, like, I was like, this is the only thing I really want to do. Like, I don't want to be a lawyer. Like I want right now, at least.
Right.
Maybe one day. But so then I ended up coming to the conclusion that I wanted to do comedy. And at that point, I got some advice from someone in the business and that I should just move to LA and I shouldn't, you know, just skip the middleman, go right to Hollywood. And then I ended up doing that. And my goal when I got to LA was to be a part of the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater because I knew them. I knew their content. I knew the performers.
Right.
So I got out here and just started grinding. And then I got on my first team after like 2 years. I think it took me 2 years to get on a team out here. And then, like,
what do you mean by a team?
Like another. So we have improv teams. Like the theater has teams of eight. So it's like you audition. There's auditions like every 6 months for teams, basically. I got on the minor league version of the team first, and then like around 2 years later or so, I got on the main stage, like major league version or whatever.
Okay.
I think that's an easier way to put it. But yeah. So yeah, the way the theater works is that like you can get one-off shows and you can do little things like that, but to get like a regular slot, you have to audition and then get placed on a team. And yeah, and then once you're on the team long enough, you would get like promoted to get like your own weekly show or something after that. So that's kind of, and like, yeah. So basically once you're on a team, you perform every week rotating through time slots, basically.
Okay.
Long story short.
How long have you been out there? What's the exact time frame in LA?
I moved out here end of August 2014.
Okay, so you've been out there for fucking a while. Okay, so that's gonna take like a lot of balls to like get up on stage and just move to LA and like I mean, I guess a lot of people do it, but that's like scary to a lot of other people that don't go to LA.
I remember saying to my mom, it was like a healthy mix of bravery and naivete. Like,
okay,
it was like I was like a little brave and a lot stupid.
Oh my God, well, you're like, young, you know, at that age.
I think so. Exactly. I think my thought at the time was like, at age 22, like now is the time to make a huge choice. You know, now is the time to like take a risk, because it only will get harder to do something like this the older I get, you know, like the more
exactly
responsibility I have. So, yeah, so it definitely, I mean, I think that there are certainly braver. You're young and dumb, you know, you're young and dumb. And so I think that like, that was a pretty big percentage of why I did it. And the other thing is like, anyone that moves to do the entertainment business has to have delusions of grandeur. Like you have to be delusional. Like you know what I mean? Like you have to be like, I'm good, I'm gonna make it, even though there's no evidence for that at all because you haven't done it yet, you know? Like you have, exactly. So it's like, it, go ahead.
No, like what I'm trying to do here, out of my fucking mind, it's a fucking whole mountain I'm trying to climb, and outside looking in, it might seem fucking stupid, but it can be done if you keep at it and keep getting better. And but I mean, all the like what you're saying, like you got to be a little bit crazy to do it. You got to be outgoing. You got to not worry about what people think. And like you said, you got to take that risk when you're young. Taking when you're older is, you know, that's more of a gamble. But you should fuck up. If you're gonna fuck up when you're young, and at least try 100%. Some shit. Find out what you like.
100%. Yeah. I mean, 100%. I think yeah. But I think, you know, something you learn out here too, a lesson you learn a lot is just that like, the people that make it, a lot of them are the people that just never stop going.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of it is like a battle of attrition. You know, it's like if you just keep trying, eventually something will click, you know, like the people that, but that's like really hard. You know, it's also really hard to like, you know, keep going up at little indie theaters and trying and failing when you're, you know, in your late 20s, 30s. Like, I think it gets harder and harder and harder. But yeah, you just have to go for it. You really just have to keep doing it. I think like something about comedy that's, I think why like a lot of comedians are kind of tortured is like, you kind of have to be older to be funny. Like you have to have a level of Like you could be you funny and young, but like a lot of the great comedians actually really hit it older. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, so okay, it is uniquely painful because it's like you're comedians are like still struggling at older ages, you know, like where other people are in your age group are like, you know, having kids or making whatever. It's like, it's like a weird, it's a weird lane. Whereas like musicians, you know, I think a lot of musicians, I haven't looked at the statistics, but like, you know, there are amazing musicians at like 20, 21, 22. Like that's pretty rare to see that in comedy. You know, most comedians are older. Most of like, if you look at like who, if you see, so you're like, who's your favorite stand-up? They're going to say like Dave Chappelle or Bill Burr. And those guys are like 40s, 50s. You know what I mean? Like they're super old. Like they've been big for a while, but you know, they're old. They're old. They're older.
Yeah, no, it's only like, I feel like outside looking in, I don't do comedy, but I feel like any sort of comedy, whether it's like movies or whatever, just talking to your friends, if you got a good sense of humor, you got to be able to laugh at yourself, most importantly. And and especially nowadays when everyone's so fucking sensitive, what is your future outlook and I guess the present outlook on comedy today with the way culture's got like cancel culture and shit?
I think with all this stuff, it is there are kind of nuanced, it's kind of a nuanced conversation because it's like, when you talk about like cancel culture, it like means something different to anyone you talk to about it, you know, it's just like such a broad term. I think in terms of like my outlook, I do think the reality is that like corporations are getting more and more like scared of doing anything transgressive, anything like that, you know, like the, I think that just a lot of the best comedy is actually now happening on like TikTok and YouTube. But I think like, I don't know what's going to happen next, but I think that like the most interesting stuff is happening on TikTok and YouTube. I think it's like stand-ups, it's a lot of like kids just making stuff, you know, like on TikTok, there's a lot of like, the barrier to entry is really low. So like younger people are making hilarious stuff. I tend to think that is, it's like, I think where most people go to, you know, if you watch like, and I don't want to call anything out by name, but like a lot of shows like play it safe, you know, like they don't make big risky choices. They don't, you kind of know what you're going to get. Like the tone of all the late night shows is very similar. It's not like when we were younger and you would turn on the Daily Show and the Colbert Report, and those were like very unique shows, you know, that didn't feel like anything else that existed. So yeah, I think like the future of comedy, I think is just going to be, it's like being democratized kind of. I mean, I say this as somebody that's like not on TikTok, but like, I think it's going to be TikTokers like, and YouTubers. Like I really think
you believe in TikTok.
They will sort of determine. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Yes. I think I do. I think I believe in like, I believe in the idea of like, I believe in like the principles behind why I think a lot of people like TikTok, I think are like valid, you know? Like,
right.
I think the cool thing about, there's obviously social media presents like so many problems and issues and all that, but the fact that like people that are funny can just put stuff up that's funny and they don't have to worry about like upsetting their advertisers or like like they don't, I think that's like pretty, I think that's legit. Like, I think that that is going to be meaningful and is going to be something that the value of that is not going away anytime soon.
Right. I mean, the internet in general, it's been doing it for a while now, but it cuts out the middleman. And I think that's what everyone loves about it now. Like, you don't need like model, like Instagram models. You needed like an agent back in the day. Now you just need access to the internet and a phone. Okay. So Xander, I've been absolutely fucking dying for a Clubhouse invite. and I get a notification. Some weird noise comes from my phone. And it's like, Xander Frost has like put you to the head of the line or something. You're now on Clubhouse. I'm like, no fucking way. And I was like, it was like, Xander like invited, like I didn't know if you just sent me an invite, but you told me after you saw that I was waiting, you know, it's like to get in this fucking club.
I hooked it up.
Fucking pro move on your part there. That was awesome of you, man. Like sticking with my brand here, you're a fucking wingman for that shit.
That's right. That's right, man.
Dude, you're a fucking wingman. So anyway, we got on there and I got on there with Max from Streaming Cassettes, and we were trying to learn the platform. We hopped on the next day and I hit the invite button. You're the only other person I follow on there or whatever. I accidentally hit your name. And then I'm like, oh fuck. I didn't know if it actually sent. And then you came in. I'm like, let's send it. Let's go. And you hopped on and we were fucking talking and it was just great to catch up. What are your thoughts on Clubhouse? And because you know way more about it than I do. Can you tell the listeners who don't know what it is?
Yeah, so Clubhouse is basically, it's audio chat rooms. So like the way it works is like I can set up a room for any topic I want. It could be, I'm talking about Hunter Werner today, and then anybody that follows me or sees it can join the room. And since I started it, I'm the moderator, so I'm on stage, which means I can talk. And I can talk and I run the room basically. So I'm technically on stage. So anybody that joins the room is in the audience. And anybody that wants to get up on stage can raise their hand and then I can bring them up on stage. And then I can remove them from stage too, as long as I'm a moderator. So it's basically just conversations. I mean, that's more or less what it is conversations. First of all, I will say I'm optimistic about Clubhouse, and I'm sure in a month it will become incredibly toxic and everything I'm saying is like totally, as with any social media, I think we're all so jaded that it's like, how, you know, how long is it going to be good, really?
Right. Well, we got Twitter Spaces coming now too, so.
Yeah, and other people are doing their clones of it. I think that it's like really cool because it is definitely more focused on substantive conversation. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have a like metric, you know, it doesn't have some of the same things that Instagram and Twitter and Facebook have that tends to make it more about clout and getting likes. It's a very, like, none of the audio is stored, so it's really, you're just coming in for the conversation, listening to it and leaving. Obviously there's still followers, there's still clout, those things still exist,
right? But
for me, I don't feel like it's thrown in my face, and I can just, I like to just hop on it at night and just bounce around to a bunch of different rooms and just see what people are talking about.
So you related it to like a live podcast, like hundreds of live podcasts going on, I think is what you said.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a festival, like a music festival where they got a bunch of different stages, but it's like podcasts and conversations, and you can choose who you want to listen to. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
In that asset.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah. I think like there's something about it that feels, one of the first night I used it, I was like, this feels like the future.
It's the next one. It's the next platform.
Yeah, it just in terms of like, if it felt like it was merging, you know, people have been talking about like live streaming and Twitch and all that stuff's gotten big. And I've personally found it to have like some like limited personal utility thus far, in terms of, you know, I only watch Twitch to watch hip-hop producers make beats. Like I really enjoy that aspect of Twitch, but I haven't, this is the first time I've seen live streaming and live chatting or whatever actually manifest in a way that I find interesting or useful, in a way that I would like consume it regularly. you know, like okay. everything else. Usually I found that the stuff that is live requires a lot of time. There's a lot of, you have to wade through a lot of nothing, right? Like you have to like wait and there's a lot of downtime. But because of the fact that there's, you know, you'll get in a room with like 12 people on stage, this, it just tends to be a lot more substantive, especially if the moderators are doing a good job.
Okay.
So I guess that's, that to me, it is the, it is a way that live streaming and live communication feels more interesting and more like we can use this right now. So I think that's why I find it, one of the reasons why I find it really cool. And I'm, I am excited about it.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. And like with the Twitter spaces and whatnot, it's copycat league. I think I saw Facebook. I think I might've saw it on your brother's thing, actually. What's your brother's thing? Is it Ride the Roca?
Roca News, at Roca Ride News. The News. Yeah.
I think I saw it from them. So I'm already gaining some fucking insight from their post and some valuable like knowledge. That Facebook is making like almost like its own like TikTok. I don't know how you get to it, but for like rappers and whatnot.
So oh really? I don't know.
That,
I don't
that's
know
what I saw. That. I think that's where I saw it.
Well, they Instagram already did the Reels, you know, which is technically Facebook too. So they're everybody's cloning everything all the time.
You have to, otherwise the other one's gonna like fucking slaughter you, though.
I mean, what's interesting is that Instagram stories, they just ripped off Snapchat. That was just directly ripping off Snapchat, and now
yeah, I like Instagram stories 80 times better than Snapchat too, though. So
do you?
I don't really go on. I don't have like a lot of Snapchat friends, honestly. It's yeah. one of my least used social medias.
I don't really ever go on Snap. I'm always like, who is using Snapchat? And anytime I open it up, it's like, there's like three people. They're all younger than me. They're
yeah, definitely yeah.
all younger than me.
Yeah, there's like, a time and place for it.
Yeah, I'm trying to get off all the social medias, to be honest. Like, really? I think, yeah, I try to limit. I'm not on Twitter. I'm not on Facebook. I have an Instagram. But I try to limit it. I really try to limit it. I don't think it doesn't make me feel productive. You know, it mm-hmm. feels like it wastes my time and gives me anxiety. So I really try to limit it. But it is in terms of generating content and getting content out there, it's the best thing in the world.
Right. Like, so I'm naturally like an introvert, I guess. I used to always be really quiet. Ever since I started drinking beer, I came out of my shell. But
good. That's your prescription.
Yeah, right. how would an introvert, I don't know if you know the answer, but like, so I don't really like posting on social media, but for what I want to do,
yeah,
the life I want to make for myself, that fucking dream, making like a big fucking podcast network. How would one get past that? And like, because social media is the gateway.
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, you know, not that I have the answer to that, but I do think that creating a professional page or viewing it as a business or professional endeavor, so it separates from it being you, would be a way to accomplish that. As opposed to feeling like you're sharing yourself or, you know, feeling like you're bearing your, you know, whatever, opening up in a way that's very personal. It's like, this is just business. This is just the same as, you know, if you were working at like George Steamboat Company, this is like the same thing as cleaning the deck or whatever, bringing some food up right. to the captains. It's Love the it. Same thing. It's just, instead you're just posting. You know, you're just posting this. It has nothing to do with any like vulnerability or any, it's just not personal. I whenever I'm able to get in a place where I'm separating, this is the job and this is personal, that helps me. That makes it a lot easier to just focus on the task at hand and complete the task at hand. Because I think I do have a lot of experience where in LA and in comedy, personal and business is just you're never not working. You know, every friend is also in comedy. So it's always kind of, you know, it's all one big blob. So it definitely can be difficult because the worlds merge. The personal becomes the business and vice versa. The personal becomes the professional. So I think I would imagine just remembering that you are, you know, posting in a professional capacity, maybe that would help. If you are naturally introverted, then it's like you're not, it's, you're just a business. You're just functioning as a business.
Yeah, I guess a brand or a reputation is like what people, I guess, think of you. So are you suggesting having like two separate, like for me, for instance, would you suggest getting like a personal page and then like a Wingman Hunter page?
I know a lot of people who have Finstas, fake Instas.
I mean, I wouldn't call it a Finsta, but I guess it would be like, because I feel weird. I don't want to shove the content of like family members or friends that don't give a fuck about my podcast. Because I learned a while ago with like my first business, you can't rely on friends to like help you with your business. Yeah. They can like a post, they can share it. You can't rely on them to bring money in. You can't, you know, if they don't want to hear your podcast. So I feel bad sometimes if I'm constantly sharing my own shit, but I feel like if I was in a separate place where all the people that fuck with my podcast and, you know, the network, it'd feel more natural for me.
But that's what I mean. Like I know some pretty like successful actors and comedians who have hidden personal accounts.
Okay.
Where they post pictures that haven't been manicured and, you know, they're not like, it's just them. It's not the image that they're trying to
create. So a private profile and for just like family and friends.
Exactly. I know a lot of people that do that. Like
so
more than
I already have like fucking 8 Instagram accounts with like.
Yeah, no, I know that is right. One other thing I will say is that I think very rarely, I think the anxiety of posting promotional stuff is real. I think we've all felt that.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's selling something nowadays.
But no one cares.
Yeah, exactly.
Like your family and friends are not going to be insulted by seeing you on your grind. Trying, like there, maybe it would be a little annoying. Maybe they mute you or whatever, but I don't really think that. I think that that's a pretty minimal, at least in my experience.
Yeah.
Most people are never going to be annoyed by you hustling, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think I guess on two ends, I would say you could make your personal private account, and you could also say, screw it, I'm just going for it all, you know, pull out every, you know, whatever, like pull out every, I'm blanking on the phrase. Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
That's like the best, like for someone that wants to like really make it, especially in like LA Hollywood stuff or doing a podcast, the best drug you can have is literally not giving a fuck about what people think. You're literally invincible if you can get to that point.
It's true. It's definitely, I mean, everybody agrees on that at some level. I mean, you know, there's a whole thing where it's like you get the audition you don't give a shit about. You know, it's like when you audition for something and you don't care, that's the one you book. And it's right. Totally true. I mean, it's like when you walk in there, you're like, whatever, I don't need you. And you go, and then you're truly yourself. And then a lot of times it goes very well. It goes very well. I know I have booked things where I did not care. I remember when I auditioned to get on my college improv team, I was really nervous, but I had not done improv in 2 years. So I almost was like, whatever. It's just like, I'm probably not going to get this. I don't know what I'm doing.
So walk me through like the improv. Are you there? Oh no, we froze. So I'm still a little confused. Like, I know what improv is. How does that go? Like, me and you were doing improv. How does that go right now? Like, do you like give me, is someone giving us a scene?
Yeah, so basically I do long form improv. So when you see improv like Whose Line, have you seen Whose Line?
Whose Line is
Whose it anyway?
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Or is it just Whose Line? I haven't seen it. I think I've heard of it.
Yeah, on ABC.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Oh, wow. Well, okay. So it's Wayne Brady's show. So basically like they do games. So they do games. So it's like a scene where everybody has to talk in all questions or whatever. They have like very, or like a singing, you know, you have to sing a song about whatever, you know, a rodeo. What we do is at the most basic, we would get a suggestion from the audience of anything, and then we would just start a scene. And then so, we would Xander, just do I'm gonna series of scenes.
Totally go outside my comfort zone right now. Can we do this, me and you?
You want to do an improv scene? Would you go up to a doctor and ask them to just operate on you, Hunter? Come on.
No, I think it'd be fun though. Come on, let's do a scenario.
Wanna, I'm probably gonna okay. Okay. All right.
I'm gonna be fucking awful.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I'm game. Let's get a find a random word. Get a random word.
Roomba.
Okay.
I can pick a different one.
No. I love it. Hey, Hunter. We've been roommates for a while. And I was thinking we should invest in a Roomba. We should actually invest in the space that we live in.
Dude, say no more. You had me at invest. With all the cryptos I've been invested in, okay. I'm fucking in, man.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay. Let's pump the brakes on the whole. Everything comes back to crypto with you, Hunter. I can't talk to you for 2 minutes without you bringing up Litecoin, Ethereum, XLM. I don't even know what that is. Let's just get a Roomba. Let's just get the Roomba.
Are you paying for it?
Is all your money timed up in a Coinbase account and you don't have the USD to buy a Roomba?
Elon tweeted last night. And you got me.
Okay. I'm paying for everything. I'm paying for everything in this goddamn apartment.
So can I can I have conversations with the Roomba? Can I download the app on my phone? Do I have to empty the bag on it or whatever it is?
You know what? You're a good guy. I already ordered it and I'll pay for it. Okay. I'll pay for the Roomba. I'm going to go. Do you want a coffee? I'm going to go make some coffee.
Xander, that'd be great, but since we're on the topic of money, I got to talk to you about this month's rent.
Okay, let's talk about it. Let's chat. Let's gab, Hunter. Let's gab.
All right, that's it. No, I think we did good.
I mean, you're going to bail? We were just getting into the good part there, Hunter. Come on.
We're going down a rabbit hole. I'm definitely down to do that again, though. I was confused. I didn't know if we were like doing that song thing that you were talking about or if we were acting. I was like, oh, fuck, we're acting.
So, well, you jump right into it. You were like, let's just go before I got to.
Yeah,
so,
I was like.
That's long form is like that. It's literally just like, you just go.
A hard time not laughing.
When it's good, it is hard not to laugh. But that's the best. So we would do like. They're called forms. So it's like you could do one where it's like the whole set takes place in the same location, or you would do like a one act play, or you would do a bunch of scenes and then revisit them a few times. So there's like the shows are about 25 minutes to 30 minutes long.
Okay.
And they always start with just a suggestion. You have nothing but the suggestion. That's how you do it.
And you go
nothing
for half an hour?
Yeah.
With how many people is it usually?
My team is 8 people, but you usually have for a show, you usually have 6 to 8 people on stage. I would say usually.
Dude, that shit's crazy. That's kind of fun though. Me and my, two of my buddies actually, we're coming back. We went down to Jersey to visit one friend. And on the way back, we actually did some of that shit. Like one of us would like, guy in the backseat would give me and like shotgun and the guy driving a fucking scene. And we'd have to act it out.
some of the funniest fucking road trips I've ever had. Like, was
yeah. That. It's that's great. I mean, it's to me, it's the one of the most fun, addictive things in the world, man. I mean, especially when you start to learn about how to approach it and structure right. And it's like a puzzle that is it's like you're trying to do a puzzle live in front of an audience.
It's like a Mad Lib or something.
The dimension. Yeah. But like the dimensions are constantly changing. You know, it's like you're trying to like figure out what's the funny thing, and your scene partner's changing right. It and your team is changing it. So it really, the only thing I can compare, I really can't compare it to anything, man. I would compare it, I guess, to like, it's any art, just having to do it live, kind of. It's like, imagine if you had to like write a script live, you know, like the pressure and the.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, I think that's, it is, it's creativity. It is just like unbridled creativity in front of an audience. And I will say, like, because this is the longest I've ever gone without doing an improv show. You know, like
I'm glad I could bring you back into the game.
Yeah, really. Thanks, Hunter. I appreciate it. We should do this every week. But like, I was doing like, you know, 4 shows a week, usually 5 shows a week sometimes. And like legit a lot of shows. And it's super addictive because of the audience. I mean, there's really having like a sold out house laughing at everything.
That would be fun. Cause when I think addictive. Of comedy, I only think of like stand up and shit. But I feel like an improv, like comedy club or something, like that would be a hell of a fucking date. Like that would be fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's
like,
a good, guaranteed it's a, laugh. Yeah, it's good.
I would like to do that. Do they have any?
It's a good, well, it's improv, so it's not always guaranteed. There's like a troupe in Albany, I think, but there's nothing like what they have in New York, Chicago, and LA. I mean, those are sort of the, any night of the week, you can watch a good improv show in New York, Chicago, and LA.
Improv's a good podcast idea.
Nothing quite like that. There's a lot of really, I can recommend Big Grande's The Teacher's Lounge is a fantastic improv podcast. Very funny. There's like Earwolf. If you ever heard of Earwolf, they have a bunch of improv podcasts.
Breaking news.
But yeah, man, it's great.
The Giants cut Golden Tate.
That's it. They're going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully we get Allen Robinson or some shit.
Man, you really do. You think that they're going to win the Super Bowl.
No, I do not.
You said that as if that... you're in, dude.
He's a ball player, but... You think...
He is really good. Hold on, I'm gonna get my charger. He is good. I feel so bad for Saquon, man. Every year I just feel so bad for Saquon.
Well, hopefully you can stay healthy this year, and you know, we can keep building. We just got to figure out if Daniel Jones is the guy this year.
He was hurt a lot.
Yeah, I know. I like Daniel Jones. I still believe in him. I just bought a $200 fucking PSA 10 card of him, so I'm still in on.
So yeah, you're going all in. I think that defense is good. That defense is legit.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, especially with what we had last year, but we had like James Bradbury and fucking Blake Martinez, good additions.
Yeah.
But no, this is a good segue. So I had something fun prepared for you. What's your sports podcast? Are you still doing it right now?
It's called Mr. Sports. So you can follow us on Instagram. God, what is our handle? I don't even remember right now. It's Mr. Sports. Jesus. It's Mr. Sports Online is the handle. So that's me and Andrew Lind, another LA-based comedian.
Okay.
Host that.
All right, so check them out. So I got a fun one. So we always used to shoot the shit a little bit about sports back in our work days. So I got a fun fuck, kill, marry fucking scenario here for you, sports based. Okay. So these are going to be pairs. Okay. Pairs of people.
Yeah.
Okay. Michael Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser, Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, Mike and Mike in the Morning, and then
We're throwing in, you got to kill two of them in this scenario, okay?
Okay.
Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless. What are you doing?
Okay, can you give, okay, so that's, can you give them to me one more time?
Mike Wilbon, Tony Kornheiser, Stephen A. and Max Kellerman, Mike and Mike, and then Shannon Sharp and Skip.
Okay. You obviously, obviously, obviously marry Kornheiser and Wilbon.
Oh, yeah.
Right off the top. Not even, not
they're
even
they're the best in the game.
They're the best. They've been the best. I like both those dudes a lot. The problem with the other pairs, I'm killing Mike and Mike. I'm killing Mike and Mike.
Okay. I don't really listen to them, but I feel like they're more moderate. But I feel like the other two, like Stephen A., especially Skip Bayless, just say shit to get a fucking headlock.
Yes. That's okay. Here's the problem. Like Mike and Mike, I grew up listening to them in the morning on the way to school.
Mm-hmm.
But they were so bold. They never did anything for me. Like I loved Dan Patrick, but Mike and Mike never. But on the other two, it's like, I mean, Stephen A. is funny. Like that. The thing about like Stephen A. is actually hilarious. Like that.
There's a reason he gets paid like 15 or like, 20 million a year.
I Max Kellerman, no thanks. But Stephen A. Smith is like the thing about him is that you have to respect his ability as a performer.
Right.
You know, like he, I guess, okay, maybe, yeah, Skip and Shannon. See, Skip has the same thing as Stephen A. He's just not as funny. But like,
yeah,
Skip is just a troll. He's a troll.
Oh, like, yeah.
He's a troll, and Stephen A. is like, he's like that braggadocio New Yorker. Like, yeah. They're both good at their jobs, you know? Like, they're both, I mean, look, I guess, this is hard. This is really hard, because, like, I don't like either. Like, I think that, in a way, I'm like, all of these people involved in this, like, have ruined sports media. Like,
right.
You know, like, that's what, like, this. So I guess you could say, like, Stephen A. is just carrying a lot of the weight. Like, I really respect Stephen A.'s performance ability.
Mm-hmm. So are you fucking him?
So I guess I would fuck, yeah. That's who I would probably,
nothing wrong with that, man. I think I'd have those two. I think I might switch them around, though, maybe.
I think I would maybe, look, I think, like, ethically, Mike and Mike is better.
Mm-hmm.
Mike and Mike is better than Stephen A. and Max and Skip and Shannon, you know, like, but I, if it's like, if it's a fuck, if it's a one night stand, I want Stephen A. Smith. Like, are you kidding me? Like,
he's an entertainer. He's going to give you a good ass night. No doubt.
100%. We did an improv show out here, a basketball themed improv show where we, instead of getting suggestions from the audience, we pulled inspiration from famous NBA broadcast clips.
Yep.
And we had, there was this rant, Stephen A. Smith just like screaming about Joel Embiid for like 6 minutes, like a monologue.
Dude, he can go on. Dude.
And it was one of the funniest, so funny. Just again, if you look at him as a news broadcaster, yeah, he's not good at that. But if you look at him as just an entertainer, he's amazing. I mean, that's much energy. He's like, the dude's like 50s, isn't he? He's like in his late, he's been doing this for like years and years and years and years.
I mean, there's a reason these guys get paid so much money. Like Tony Romo, his entertainment value now that he's like broadcasting, does he get paid 20 million now? Like he's getting paid more than he was when he played in the NFL.
Yeah, but see, the thing is like, Tony Romo is the best NFL commentator I've ever heard.
Some people hate him for some reason.
Yeah, I have a NFL group chat where like two people hate him, and I'm like, this dude's the best. He's smart.
Not just a fucking dead body in there. Just he's throwing it deep. You know, he's fucking fun.
Yeah, I would say this: the NFL commentators do such a better job overall than the NBA commentators, like the play-by-play caller commentators. The NFL has like a bunch of good broadcasting teams.
Mm-hmm.
Like Buck and who's Buck? Who's Joe Buck's color?
Troy Aikman. Is Troy Aikman with
them? Yeah. Buck and Aikman are good. Michaels and Collinsworth are good.
I love Collinsworth.
Yeah, and then Romo and Jim Nance are good. And then the number two teams are really good too. And then the post-game shows have gotten a lot better. Nate Burleson's really good. Like there are just a lot of – whereas in the NBA, and I because I watch a lot of both of those sports, like the NBA – inside the NBA is obviously the best sports show, period, right? Like Barkley, Kenny Smith, and Shaq. It's the best. But the – a lot of the analysis, even on that show, I mean, those guys, like, Shaq does not watch the games. Like, it's really clear to me that Shaq does not watch the game. So when you watch NFL, the level of analysis is, like,
a little deeper.
It's much higher. I also think MLB analysis is better than NBA analysis, too, in general. Like, it used to be the MLB analysis was really bad. Mm-hmm. It was, like, the pre-Moneyball guys. But now I feel like, I was watching during the MLB playoffs, which I thought were great this year. Carlos Pena was crushing it. If you remember Carlos Pena, he was on the MLB network doing post game. He was great. It's like awesome. And I'd never seen that
at all.
It was fun, man. This past year was fun. It was, and I'm an Oriole fan. So like, you know, we're the worst team ever. So this is coming from somebody whose team is just getting beat up regularly. Like I still really enjoy
it's loving a shitty team is almost awesome though. Cause when you get there, it's going to be that much fucking sweeter, man.
Yeah. But man, we were bad from when I was like 5 to when I was 20, we lost every year. And then we had like 5 years of like, stitching it together and like barely being good, and now we're back to garbage. It feels like we were barely good. Something. Like, so we got a really good farm system now. So hopefully, by the time I have kids, they'll get to see a winning team.
Right. So did you ended up killing Mike and Mike, and then Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So further on that question, let's say, Xander, you all of a sudden got into necrophilia. You got to fuck one of their dead bodies. Whose dead bodies are you fucking?
Wait, are you saying this literally, or are you saying metaphorically?
Metaphorically for the fuck, kill, marry game. You know, I don't actually want you fucking anyone, but.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm just clear. I don't know what kind of podcast you run here, Hunter.
I talk about a lot of weird shit on here.
I guess I'd say, I mean, I don't really, I've never really watched Skip and Shannon. I'm going to say, I'm Mike and Mike.
Like, you're going to fuck their dead bodies?
Yeah, I would say so, probably.
I think we just got our soundbite for the promo for this episode. Thank you, Xander.
Great, yeah. Well, be careful what you do with that clip. Metaphorically, in terms of the game.
Yeah. We'll include that part right there.
I do good, clean comedy, Hunter. You know that. I make jokes about, like, the dictionary and stuff like that, you know?
I'll make sure the metaphorically gets put in there. Don't worry.
Thanks.
Yeah, so that's pretty much all I got for today's episode. Last thing I wanted to ask you, keeping with our brand, like Wingman of the Year. So there actually is going to be a Wingman of the Year award. Mm-hmm. So sticking with our theme here, do you have any Wingman story off the top of your head at the time that you were like a Wingman? I know it might be tough right off the top of the head. It could be literally dragging a buddy home drunk from the bar, hooking up a buddy with some chick.
Let's see.
A good fucking person.
When I was a good wingman, I'm a really bad guy, Hunter. I'm selfish. No. Let's see. I think, okay, I will tell you, in college, my roommate, like there one semester we had to share a double. So it was like two beds in the same room. It was senior year, and just for one semester,
right?
Because of a series of events, and my roommate, he had a lot. He just that dude was like always having sex, like all the time.
Dude, the guy fucks.
And yeah, he just does. I mean, and I knew that. I was worried about that when I found out the arrangement. I was like, this is gonna suck. I was like, because there were two other
common room.
Basically, yeah, there was like, it was in an apartment with two other guys who each had their own bedrooms. I was like, neither of you get as busy as he does. So like, can we, here's why I was a wingman, because he would always put on Adorn by Miguel. Okay. If you know the R&B singer Miguel.
I know Miguel, so I can imagine it's some seductive shit.
It's like the sexiest song ever. And like he would always put it on. Yeah, right, yeah. He would put it on, and I knew that meant someone was coming, and I would just leave the room when it came on. It was like a Pavlovian, like I would just leave the room and like, I guess I'm spending the night in the common room.
Yeah.
So my being a good wingman was that I would exit the room simply at the start of a playlist. That was what a good guy I was. We didn't even have to talk about it. I would just take my leave. Did it turn into a fight after about 3 months? Yeah. Yeah. Eventually.
No, yeah, that's what I was a good wingman. No, you did your part, man. It sounds like he definitely got his knot a couple times, and you definitely
I hooked him up. I mean, yeah, but at a certain point it was like, hey dude, like
I want to sleep in my own fucking bed that I
want to sit. Yeah. Because it was the apartment was like a school property, so we didn't have like our own couch. It was like the school provided all the furniture for the apartment. So it was like those like nasty couches that are like not big enough with like big wooden arms. It was like whatever. So like sleeping out there was like, I'm over 6 feet tall. So it was like, it was like, it wasn't like, oh, there's a futon. Like it was not like that at all. It was like the worst couch to sleep on in the world. Yeah.
Well, dude, if you don't mind, can you put me in contact with this guy? He sounds like he'd be good for the show with the Wingman brand.
I'll be sure to put, unfortunately Hunter, he's busy right now.
he's fucking and we're podcasting, so
that's right.
Tells you how our lives are going.
that's right. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, no, there's a Roomba here, but I don't think that she's interested. She's not interested.
Fucking Roomba. Well, shit, man, it's been, I think it was a good fucking episode. We had some technical difficulties with the internet connection, but that's what we're dealing with nowadays.
That's life.
Do you want to plug your socials or anything? Or
yeah, I would say follow Mr. Sports Online on Instagram. Follow me at Xander H. Frost, Xander with a Z on Instagram. That's the best place to, if you want to hit me up and hang out, that's the best way to communicate with me.
Is that what it is on Clubhouse too?
No, I don't even know what it is on Clubhouse. But don't follow me on Clubhouse. I don't talk on Clubhouse. I just I lurk on Clubhouse. I'm not trying to. Right. I don't have anything to say. I just said it all right now. You know,
dude. I know, right? It's fucking crazy. That's why, like, when I had people like that I'm gonna podcast with, I'm hanging out with them before. I'm like, let's not fucking talk. Let's save all this. Like, this is good content right here. Let's fucking save it.
Amen.
And then you talk about the same
Amen.
Thing.
it's like, that is the thing. Don't give it away. What is it, the Joker quote? If you're good at something, never do it for free. Right?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, that's the Dark Knight. If you're good at something, never do it for free. That's why I watched that on my flight out to LA. Yeah.
You do fucking impressions too.
Yeah, that's the only thing I could do. Never do it for free. That's the only line of impressions I can.
Shit. Okay, so one last thing before we end the show, quick, and then we're ending it. Who's the most famous person you've met out in LA or seen or met?
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
No way.
I have a picture.
Giannis? No shit.
Giannis, dude. Probably. Who's the most famous?
What about like?
I guess it would be. I met Kevin Durant in Denver once, so it would be like. Here's the thing, Hunter. Like, I don't. Like, I really try not to freak out because you do see celebs around.
Oh yeah. But
my policy is the only celebs I'll like approach are basketball players and rappers. Like, those are the only, like, if I see, because I was at Shake Shack with my buddies at 10 p.m. There was no one in there. Was the Shake Shack was empty except at the table, the other table, there was Giannis Antetokounmpo sitting down.
Jesus.
And I was like, I was like, what? you know what I mean? Like, imagine you just like walk into an empty restaurant at the end of the night. There's no one there, and the guy who's about to be the MVP of the NBA.
Oh shit!
There. Like, yeah. And it was, so I was like telling my friends who are not basketball fans, I was like, should I go over there and And I never do that. And I was excited. And they're like, don't.
No, I can only imagine it'd fucking suck, like, as a famous person.
Well, so some guy comes in and goes over to him. I was listening to it. And he comes over to him. He's like, starts talking to him. And he's like, hey, man, like, if you, he's like, take my number. If you're ever in Koreatown and you need a place to crash, like, shoot me a text. So he, like, makes Giannis being incredibly nice. He, like, makes Giannis take his phone out, and the dude puts his number into Giannis's phone.
Oh, my God. I wonder if he ever followed up.
Also, like, I'm just, like, imagining Giannis, like, needing a place to crash. Like, I'm going to just crash on, like, I'm like, a 7-foot-tall best basketball player in the world, have all this sponsorship deals, and I'm going to hit up this dude.
Yeah, that guy did not think that couch.
and then he got mobbed by, like, teenagers, which was, like, that was, like, okay, that's cool, like, they're kids, like, that makes sense. Yeah, you know? But this dude was, like, the dude who made him put his number into his phone was, like, 38. Like, he was awesome. Like, way too old to be doing
when all old dudes are fanboying. Most famous, like, person I've ever met was actually in Lake Georgia, you know, the tap room.
Yeah.
I think it's called something different now. I saw
I know what you're talking about.
Blake from Workaholics there.
Oh, really?
He lives in my neighborhood. Like, a movie or something. I don't know if it ever came out.
Really? He lives around. I've run into him a lot in this neighborhood. Yeah. Like, I don't know where he lives, but he lives somewhere. He hangs out at the bars down the street. Or used to. I don't know.
It's weird because, like, we gotta go talk to him. It's the only famous person I've ever seen. We go off to him. And it's weird how people that aren't famous be like, I got to buy you a fucking beer. Like, they can't, like, you know, get their own. It's like, I need to buy you a beer, bro. Like,
I feel bad. You know, you ever watch Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Alfie Allen, Theon Greyjoy.
Okay.
We were, like, sitting out front after a show down the street at this bar. And he was, like, hammered. Multiple times he's done this, and he ended up, like, sitting with us and doing, like, bad impressions for, like, 40 minutes, and then he started freestyle rapping for, like, a whole night. Like, it wasn't cool, it was annoying. it was like a random actor. He kept making, like, Game of Thrones jokes. Like, he kept in his freestyle rap, he referred to himself as Reek.
Oh, shit. Like, yeah. Fucking A. He's dissing himself the old Eminem way.
Basically. Yeah, basically. Okay. So, yeah, that's the other. Yeah. Hey, you never, Hunter, you're probably going to run into somebody big this week somewhere.
I don't know. I'm not even supposed to leave because of the Navy. They don't even want me going out to dinner. Right. But so I'll probably be famous someday if I keep going out.
I'll ask you this when we're done. Never mind. I was going to ask you a question, but we'll wait till it.
But yeah, man, I appreciate you coming on. It's been fucking fun. Hopefully,
Thanks for letting me be your wingman for the episode.
Oh, look at that. We got some fucking catchphrases going. Shalom. Right. Yeah. All right. Until next time, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantasize about this back in Chicago. Mercy, mercy me, that mercy will I go. That's me, the first year that I blow. How you say broken Spanish, me no I blow. Me drown sorry.